As I was waiting on God this week and thinking about our future and thinking about the incredible things that God has in store for us in the weeks ahead, in the months ahead, I kept on coming back to the same truths that God is doing a new thing. And that got me running into the scripture. It got me diving into God's word and meditating on many passages that talk about times of new things. And I wanted to take you just a little teeny bit this morning. The passage of scripture is actually from the Old Testament. I'm not going to read it to you. But there is a passage of scripture in the Old Testament where it talks, he says, "Behold, I do a new thing." And he says, "Forget the former things." And then he describes the new thing as springing forth. And if you've been around this church for a while, thanks, Mark. If you've been around this church for a while, this church has been a little bit like a pregnant woman. We've all been feeling in the last number of months like we're about to birth a baby, and we're feeling very, very pregnant spiritually, and there's an anticipation of the new season that God has us in. And part of that was the month that Kenny spent with us. I mean, it's like every strap that could be strapped down, and every bolt that needed to be tightened, a mass that needed to be, fixed. It's like God went through our entire church, establishing principle, truth, revelation, lifestyle, heart, vision, in a huge way. And so it was an amazing time. But I want to say to you today, with just absolute certainty, there are places to go, there are things to do, and there are people to meet that God has for our church in this season ahead, and we want to be dab smack in the center of God's will for our lives. We're coming to the end of summer. There's people away. September's coming around, and our whole church family is going to start to be assembled on a Sunday morning, and we want to begin this journey in earnest and apply some of the things that we have learned. But today I just want to take you, this is an introductory message into a bit of a series that I want to walk you through in the days ahead, and I want to talk about new things. And I'm going to talk about the big picture new thing this morning in just a few minutes as we share together. So just take a minute just to pray for me, if you would, and that I would have God's ability, that it would come through very clearly. I mean, just maybe even stretch your hands toward me right now and just pray for me. Jesus, I recognize that, even Jesus said, "I don't speak my own things, but whatever the Father has given to me, that's what I speak." And Lord, I don't want to speak my own thing today. I want to resonate and to articulate specifically what's on your heart, Lord. And so I give myself to you today. I pray, Lord, that you would just open this word, make it clear to every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How many of you know that the world that we're living in is broken? The world we are living in is broken in every sense of the word. And it's broken physically. We live in a world that is tormented by earthquakes and massive storms that cover thousands of kilometers, hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis, fires, drought, famine. There's every kind of natural thing that is going wrong with planet Earth. The non-Christian world around us is very aware of all of this, and they're very concerned about all this. And but that's the reality. We live in a broken world. And in actual fact, not only is the world broken, but it's sick. Isn't this an encouraging message this morning? It is. It's sick. Death, every single living thing on this planet dies. You cannot get around it. whether it's plant life, animal life, human life, death is a part of the world that we're living in today. And that death includes the degeneration of our bodies. And in actual fact, that degeneration is not our degeneration. It's actually the degeneration of every physical thing in the universe. All you have to do is build some kind of a big, beautiful, brand spanking new building of some kind, and then just leave it there. And it may take a little bit of time. Some things take longer than others. Wooden buildings last so long. Metal buildings last so long. Brick buildings last so long. But it doesn't matter what you do. In the course of time, everything disintegrates and falls apart. And so ghost towns, towns that are not lived in. At once they were, brand spanking new, buildings and homes and things people live in. All you have to do is vacate it and not continue, trying to keep it all repaired and everything like that. And gradually the roofs sink and the things begin to collapse and everything gets gray, they get weathered, and they fall apart. That's the nature of the world we live in. Literally any human thing that anyone builds, an automobile, all you have to do is buy an automobile and let it sit there. And eventually the thing's going to rust out. It's going to seize up. The battery's going to go dead. And eventually, I don't know how long it takes for a car to disappear into the ground, but it will. It'll just, completely falls apart. Now, there's a scientific term for this. Can anyone tell me what that term is? Entropy. That's it. It's called entropy. And the scientists know that this exists. Educated people in different fields of the sciences all know about entropy. Entropy, the basic principle behind entropy, is that any system needs energy continuously poured into it for it to be maintained. And if there isn't energy poured into it, everything in the universe, the whole physical universe, and everything in it begins to degrade, begins to fall apart, molecules separate from one another, and there's degradation. That's the principle of entropy. Now, I want to tell you where that began. Adam and Eve get given a garden, and in that garden, God describes everything that's in that garden. He looks at it, and he says, everything in there is very good. Each of the things that he made, he says, he saw and it was good. And at the very end of it all, he said, it is very, very good. And then God said to Adam and Eve, he said, you can take of all the trees of the garden. It's all yours. It's all yours to enjoy. I've given you this tree of life, and you can eat of that tree of life. Eternal life belongs to you. But there's one thing I ask you to do. Don't touch this other tree, which is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, I'm not going to go into all the meanings behind all of that, except there was something that they were not to do, some knowledge that they were not to give themselves to. And then God said this to them, the day that you do, you will surely die. That's what he said. And, of course, you know how the story goes. Eve one day went to the tree and saw that it was very good to eat, and the serpent was there, and told her all about the tree and what it could do for her, and she eventually ate, and then she went and got her husband, offered it to him, and he ate, and then God confronts them, and he confronts them with what he already knew that they had done. But what I wanted to emphasize to you was what happened at that scene. Remember, God said to them, the day that you take of this, you will surely die. And then he turns to the serpent who had tempted Eve, and he pronounces a curse on the serpent. If you want to know what a curse is a ban, a binding, something, a restriction, something that like chains that you can't, there's no way you can get around it. Once the curse is put on, once the ban is on, once that boundary is set, there is literally no way to go beyond that. And so he curses the serpent, says he's gonna crawl in his belly, but he promises the serpent that there's going to be a seed that comes out of this man and this woman, and there's a day coming for you, a day coming when you are going to bruise his heel, but he is going to crush your head. I know all of this is very symbolic, but that happened at the cross. And God sent his son into the world, which was the seed of Adam and Eve, and the lineage is right there to read in the Bible all the way through. And God sent his son into the world, and through that son, he would destroy the death that had come to mankind. And I'll get to that in just a second or two, but so he says to Adam and Eve, he says to Adam and Eve, I'm kicking you out of the garden. I'm taking you out of this place, of this beautiful, perfect place. And he says, from this day forward, cursed is the ground for your sake. Now it's going to bring up thorns and thistles. And by the sweat of your brow, from day by day, month to month, it's going to be a hard labor. It's going to be hard for you. The ground isn't just going to automatically give you the things that you're looking for. Then talked about pain in childbirth and different things like that. But that, the Old and the New Testament tell us, was the beginning of entropy. It was the beginning of the process where all things, everything in this universe came under a curse. Everything, every living thing, the earth itself, all humanity, everything began to die from that day forward. Now, I'm sharing this with you today because in our Christian lives, we usually think about relationship with Jesus and having Jesus in our heart and doing the things that Jesus wants to do. And we think more about the everyday things of the Christian life. And the everyday things of the Christian life are absolutely vital. They're a part of it. Jesus wants to come and he wants to live inside of us. He wants us to open the door to him, and he wants us to have a very real personal relationship. He doesn't want to be a God who is out there somewhere. And we're down here, we have no relationship, we have nothing to do with him. In actual fact, what God sent his son to do was so that Jesus would die for us and take upon himself all of our sins and the punishment for our sins so that we could be forgiven, so we wouldn't have to take that punishment. But in that, what God intended was for us to come into a personal relationship where God would now be able to come and live inside of us. Now, that's the everyday Christian life. We get up in the morning, Jesus is in us. We go to sleep at night, Jesus is in us. And he's working inside of us, and he's moving inside of us, and he's taking us into places and situations. And every day we get to live out a life where Jesus is present and helping and speaking and causing us to grow and making us more like him. But there's a bigger picture, and that's what I want to give you today. I want to give you, in just a few scriptures, the bigger picture of what Jesus intends to do. I want to read to you Revelation 21. This is our hope. I'm going to read it to you in two primary passages, but I'm going to read it to you in Revelation 21. Actually, you know what? I'm going to read you one passage before that. I'll come to Revelation 21. I want to read to you Romans 8, verses 18 to 25. This is the New Testament description of what I just said to you about this process of death and the curse and the planet, going through this. So here's what he says in Romans chapter 8. He says, "I consider that our present sufferings in this world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be future revealed inside us." How many of you guys have suffered something in this world? Okay? My daughter has leukemia. contracted 3.5-4 months ago, somewhere in there. My daughter is experiencing in her natural body part of this thing that is throughout the entire planet Earth. We heard this morning about George and Danielle Perry and their daughter Trish, who is facing stage 4 cancer. All of us, if you are 40 to 50 years old, maybe pushing 60 years old, you know that there is a certain droopiness that comes to your body automatically. There's no way you can escape it. But this body of yours that was once young and vital and strong, it's just going to happen. It's just the way it is. Okay, so all creation is experiencing this. Okay, I consider our present sufferings in this world, wherever they come from, however they're happening, they're not even worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation, the whole creation, all living things, plants, animals, rocks, the universe, all creation was subjected to frustration, the inability to come through, the inability to get out of the creation what we ultimately desire. You build something, it falls apart. You invest some money, it disappears. You love somebody, they die on you. You trust in your health, and then something happens. Every time we turn around, there's this suffering in this present world that has come as a result of our sin. It has come as a result of our ultimately turning away from God. It didn't just happen to us. It happened to the whole creation. And he says, the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice. We didn't want this, but it was subjected by the will of the one God who subjected it to this in hope of something. Now, what on earth could God ever have in mind by cursing the ground, by making a world that is like it is? When man turned away from God, when man said, I'm not going to listen to you. I don't want to have you as my God. I want everything else in this creation. I want all the good things of this life. I want everything this world can give me relationally. And I want to see the things I want to see. I want to do the things that I want to do. But I don't want you, God. In that moment, and it's happened to all of us in our lives, we became idolaters, choosing every other thing other than God himself, building our lives around and for other things. We sought fulfillment. We sought love. We sought joy. We sought happiness in all the things of this world. Relationships. And so God touched all of these things. Why? Because he's the only one in the entire universe that is worthy of all of your desire, all of your affection, everything that's inside you. He is worthy of it all. But unless he touched those things so that they will not come through for you, we often wouldn't even turn back to him. And so in my life, I went after drugs. That was my way. I went after drugs in a big way, thinking, and I got joy out of it at the beginning. I got some joy out of it. Then over time, it began to turn to everything in my life, my personality, my physical body. When I got saved, I was down to about 130 pounds. My hair was falling out, from drug use. And everything that I had given my heart to had ended up destroying me. And we do it in other ways. We do it through relationships. You hope a person is going to give you what you want. But very quickly you find out that person is a very frail, human, sinful person just like you are, without the ability to come through. And you bicker and you fight and you strive and you somehow try and get that person to be what you want them to be, and all the stuff that goes on in married relationships, but they aren't. Sometimes they are, but a lot of times they aren't. Young men and young women try on sex, or they try on you know, any number of relationships, one after the other, hoping that they're going to find what they're looking for in that. And now we have families, and this is the truth, and there's no condemnation or criticism in this, but we have families where kids have multiple moms and dads and uncles, and you know, some, the father's gone, they don't even know who the father is, or the mother has left and gone and left the kids, and you know, we've got destruction all around us, all because we have desired things and gone after them. And but what I want to share with you today is that what God is up to is not just your life now. What God is up to is restoring everything. It's actually restoring everything to the way that it should be. Let me just read through this. It says, "For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of him who subjected it, in hope that we would come back to him. That the creation itself, though, we have a hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay." That's what Jesus came to do, not just to save your soul, but to actually reverse the decay. That day is coming. A day when the corruptible things of this world will put on incorruption, where death will be defeated, where this process that the whole creation is under will be turned around. And then it says this, it says, "For the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and will be brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation, all creation, is groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to now, right up until this present time. Not only so, we ourselves, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we are groaning inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons." How many of you would like to get out of this physical body of yours and into a better model? How many of you would like to not have to put up with what we put up with, you know, with these bodies of ours? I'm telling you, that day is coming. I don't have time to read it to you, but you can read Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I know, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Read the entire chapter. It talks about the defeat of death and the defeat of this thing that's on our bodies. But I want to close with this verse, just as a promise of what's coming for us. Revelation chapter 21. This is the hope that we are hoping for. This is the big picture. All things will be made new. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne, Jesus upon the throne, the Father on the throne, saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live in them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and will be their God.'" Now listen to these words, and this is what I wanted to leave you with. And this is the hope that we have, a day that is coming when Jesus Christ returns, a day that is coming when Jesus turns this creation upside down and restores this creation, not just the physical earth, but the entire humanity and plant world, animal world, will be restored. Here's what he says. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Behold, I make all things new." I just wanted to encourage you with that today. In all the aches and the pains and the struggles and the difficulties of the life that we face, the struggles that some of you have with addictions, the struggle that some of you have with different kinds of bondages in your life, the struggle that you have with your physical body or work coming or not coming through, the economy, with people, relationships, things like that. Our hope is not only in this life. It is in this life. But there is something coming. God fully intends to restore this fallen world and create a new heaven and new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And that's part of our hope as Christians. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.